Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours, episode 23. Today is Thursday, April 18th. There was no episode on Sunday, just because I feel like the UFC 300 recaps were beaten to death, which is why we're not going to do one. Instead, we're going to do something a little bit different, have some fun. But in any case, there were 300 UFC pay-per-views officially in the books, and we are going to touch on UFC 300. We're just not going to do a fight-by-fight recap. Instead, we're going to have some fun, drink some good whiskey, maybe do some disgusting shots. Before we get into all that, let me introduce from all the way across town, Matt the Mechanic. What's going on, Matt?
Not much, Bill. How'd you enjoy 300?
I thought it was awesome, man. It was such a great show. I was up in New York at my sister's house, so I got to watch it undisturbed. Like, usually my daughter's like bugging me during the prelims until she goes to bed or whatever, but got to drink some good whiskey, hang out with some good people, and I thought it lived up to the hype, man. I thought it was a fantastic show. I mean, I've enjoyed all of the hundreds, 100, 200, 300. I thought they were all fantastic. What did you think?
I had a fun time. I had like four non-fight fans over playing board games. And, probably my favorite moment of the night was with the Jim Miller fight at the end of the second round. Some of these guys were like, so the fight's over, right? And I'm like, no, he's good. And they're like, just appalled. And then by the end of the night, not the end. We'll get into that later. But the Max Holloway ending, they were jumping and screaming. It was like, it was a cool trend. You know, they were started out horrified and then ended up having a blast. But
yeah, I mean, that has to be on the list of, like, if somebody's not an MMA fan and you're trying to convert them, like, that fight has to be on the list now.
Yeah. I don't know if I consider it the best knockout. I don't like the best arguments, but it was definitely cool as hell.
Yeah, I mean, best is subjective, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I mean, I put the Sean O'Malley over Aljamain Sterling up there, but that was for different reasons. It wasn't necessarily the knockout, but it was the culmination of becoming a champion. So, I don't know. Hmm. I know that's on no one's best knockout list, but it's on my favorite knockout list.
It's got to be there for a few people, but yeah, I mean, as far as like legendary status and replay value, I mean,
oh yeah,
the Holloway knockout is going to be, that's going to be a highlight. They're going to be showing that at UFC 400. It's going to be in the opening credits.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there with that. Yeah, the Conor Aldo. That was the first big knockout I witnessed.
Hmm. Okay.
And it was also one of the first fights per cards I watched, and it was a cool knockout, but then I was like, okay, is that it? Or do they have
Yeah. All right. So obviously I've said already, we're not going to do a fight by fight recap just because this thing's been beaten to death. So I have a couple of different things I want to do. I have some questions that will lead to kind of anecdotal conversations about the card, and then we have our hot takes. So I'll leave it up to you. What do you want to start with?
Just start with your questions.
All right. So
I was walking into interrogation, Bill.
Yeah. These are tough ones. There's no softballs here. All right. Do you have the card in front of you by any chance?
Nope, but it won't take long.
Yeah. Go ahead and pull that up. So here's my first question. You get put in charge of the UFC, but they tell you every fighter from UFC 300 is getting laid off except three. You get to save three of their careers and keep them in the UFC only based on their performance at UFC 300. Which three fighters' careers are you saving?
Off the whole card or just
the whole card?
And I work for the UFC.
Yep. You're calling all the shots. Everybody gets laid off except for three.
Diego Lopez, Kayla Harrison, and Bo Nickel.
Oh man, you're cutting a champ. cutting two champs.
Wait a minute.
And you're cutting the BMF champ.
Wait a minute. Oh, I'm going to have to go Diego Lopez, Bo Nickel, and Alex Pereira.
Interesting. All right. So you're a chauvinist is what you're saying now.
No, I work for the UFC. I'm trying to make some money.
Fair enough. All right. Who had the most underrated performance at UFC 300? Someone that impressed you but is not being widely talked about.
Aljamain Sterling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's definitely not expected, especially coming from you. But what impressed you about it?
I mean, he just didn't get the credit, and he just got one in there to get a win. And, you know, it's a freaking bad dude there. He's not going to make it exciting like everyone wants and stand and trade with him. He did what he did. Didn't he win the fight? You know, this wasn't for a belt. He just needs a win, and I think people are giving him shit for it that is undeserved.
Fair enough. Yeah, he totally dismantled Calvin Kattar. All right, next question. There were 11 former champions on UFC 300. Out of everyone on the card who is not currently a champion, who will be the next one to win a belt? Now you got
the next champion, but they had to have already been champion.
No, just who from UFC 300 is going to be the next one to be an undisputed champion? You have all former champions. You have some young talent. You got Bo Nickel in there. Armand Saryukin's probably pretty close to a title shot. Max Holloway might be fighting Topuria. Prohaska might get another title shot.
Max Holloway can't be in the conversation.
Why?
Because he's a champion.
Oh, okay. All right, so we'll leave Max Holloway out of it. Kayla Harrison might go right into a title shot.
It's either going to be Kayla Harrison, because she might possibly get a chance next. Which she
might.
Seems to be the only one that would get the chance. Well, she is the only one that's going to get the chance next, so let's go with that. Because she would fight Pennington, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Kayla Harrison.
All right. Not a bad pick. I mean, it's very possible Jessica Andrade gets a title shot, too.
Yeah, I didn't think about her.
So, there's that. And then, can she beat Wei Li?
I think I would pick Kayla over Jessica doing that.
You know, okay.
Kayla over Pennington over Jessica over Wei Li.
By the way, I want all you guys to answer these questions in the comments as well. So far the questions have been, which three fighters do you save from UFC 300 if you were calling the shots and everybody else gets laid off? Then who had the most underrated performance? And also, who will be the next champion from the fighters who competed at UFC 300? All right, last question. Should Alex Pereira go to heavyweight?
Okay, now. Since the last question. It goes right into one of my hot takes. It's not the one I wanted to do first, but
perfect.
We worked our way into it.
Yeah.
So not only should he, I think if he does, he cements himself as the greatest MMA fighter of all time. If he goes and wins.
Now, all right.
And he needs to do it now.
Little bit of a sticky situation. Does he go and fight Tom Aspinall for the interim title?
UFC 204 in Liverpool.
All right. It is. So that would be my only point of contention. Like, I agree, if he wins the undisputed heavyweight title, yeah, greatest of all time. You can't deny it. Nobody else has won in three weight classes. But if he goes up and wins the interim title, it's like, two and a half division champion.
Let's be honest. Tomas Aspinall is a heavyweight champion of the world.
The interim heavyweight champion.
Not in my eyes.
But
I think a real fighter does what Jamal Hill did when he was injured with his belt.
Yeah, I mean, a fair point, but he didn't.
And so then, furthermore, okay, John Jones is hurt. When he's back, he needs to fight Tom Aspinall, not Stipe Miocic.
So you're just retiring Stipe?
No, Stipe can fight whoever he wants.
He's not gonna.
No, but I don't know. Maybe I'm a little ruthless with this, but I think Tom Aspinall is getting the shit stick big time.
I mean, I think at least he got a belt. Like, Stipe's really the one getting screwed.
Well, life's a bitch.
All right. We'll agree to disagree on this one. I don't really? Say... I'm not giving him the GOAT status for winning an interim heavyweight title.
So what if he then fights John Jones?
If he fights John Jones and beats him, that's it. Like, there's no debate. He's the greatest ever.
Does Piera have to beat John Jones to get that status? Like, let's say, you know, John Jones is very volatile. What happens if, you know, he never fights again?
So if he loses to John Jones, John Jones is the greatest of all time. I'm
saying the John Jones fight never happens. I mean, let's say something happens where, you know, John is getting in, even though this drug testing thing looks like not his fault or like he did anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say that fight never doesn't happen.
And he beats Tom Aspinall?
Yep.
Yeah. I give him the greatest of all time. I mean, 3-division champion and a 2-division champion in kickboxing. Like, it's unreal. Like, it's already unreal what this guy's accomplished.
Yeah. And can he beat Aspinall, do you think?
Yeah, he can. Sure he can. Yeah. I mean, this guy can knock out anybody in the world, I think.
Yeah, I was looking today. I don't know how much you put into that punching thing they have at the Performance Institute.
Mm-hmm.
He beat everyone. Francis was 129. He was 191.
Yeah.
And but then there's people like Joe Pyfer that was at 170, which, take that for what it's worth. I don't know what. I always use those punching things as, I mean, I could never get anywhere close to this, but there's got to be a gimmick to it.
Like, and if I remember correctly, he did it with his right hand. Meanwhile, he knocks everybody out with a left hook.
Yeah, but it was a right hand, but it was really low.
Yeah.
It was below his tit.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You generate a lot of power that way. But it's still not his main knockout weapon. Like, he's knocking people out with the left hand.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to throw a hot take back at you, and it's not the one I wanted to do first either. But the transition is there. So here's my hot take. The jiu-jitsu community needs to stop crying in their acai about Alex Padilla being presented his black belt at UFC 300 without displaying any form of jiu-jitsu.
So I'll agree with you 100% because
there's people crying out there like, oh, he didn't even do any jiu-jitsu. What's he getting a black belt for? Listen, there's a lot of black belts out there who have never displayed any jiu-jitsu publicly. There's probably more of them than not, or more of them than those who have. I think people just get too protective over, like, no, you have to train in the gi and you have to do it this way and you have to display skills X, Y, and Z. No, you don't. The guy who gives you the belt decides if you're worthy for it because he earned that right by earning his black belt. And it's Glover Teixeira. So for me, Glover Teixeira says you're a black belt, you're a fucking black belt. I don't care if I've never seen you do jiu-jitsu. I don't have to. I never question anybody else's jiu-jitsu. Fucking Joe Rogan is a black belt. Has anybody ever seen him compete jiu-jitsu?
He's got two different. He's got a gi one and a 10th planet.
Yeah. All right. You ever seen him submit anybody in the octagon?
No. Yeah, I don't know why people were upset about. I mean, I saw it. I thought it was a little weird timing. I mean, it was like, oh, that's kind of weird. But I didn't get mad, you know, or did I question if he's a black belt or not? You know, getting your black belt is a big event. Why not tie it in with one of the bigger moments of your life? I mean,
yeah, that was going to be my other point is, like, as a coach, you have the opportunity to award your student a black belt, which is a great honor. I'm sure it's a great feeling. I hope I get to do it one day. Hope I get to put a black belt on somebody. If you have the opportunity to do it at the biggest event they've ever competed at and they won, regardless of how they won, why would you not do that for your student and take that opportunity? And you know, I believe he probably does have black belt level skills. He's been training jiu-jitsu for 9-10 years, whatever it is. I'm sure he's been very consistent with it. And, you know, again, Glover Teixeira is a very well-respected jiu-jitsu black belt. I've known this for years because one of my first jiu-jitsu coaches used to train with Glover. And I remember Glover was getting ready to fight John Jones. And this guy just kept going on and on about how Glover Teixeira is the first legitimate black belt John Jones is ever going to face. And he was going on and on about how great Glover's jiu-jitsu is. So I know that Glover has a lot of respect in the jiu-jitsu community, and I think people should be praising what he did for his student instead of criticizing it and saying, like, oh, well, he doesn't deserve a black belt because he's never submitted anybody in the octagon. Like, very few black belts have submitted anyone in the octagon. So I don't think that should be a point of contention. And one of the posts I saw, it was comparing Alex Pereira, who has no submissions in MMA, to Mighty Mouse, who has, I think, 13 submissions and he's a brown belt. Like, first of all, I don't believe in comparing people when it comes to jiu-jitsu. That shouldn't be what jiu-jitsu is about. And second of all, Mighty Mouse should probably be a black belt. He's probably sandbagging. So
he's probably not a black, doesn't have his black belt in the gi, I would imagine.
Yeah, what's going on maybe. There. Yeah. So I think it's a stupid comparison. I think it's a stupid thing to get upset about. And there's one of my hot takes there.
Yeah. If you were mad about Alex Pereira getting his black belt Saturday night, you're a dork.
Yeah, stop crying in your acai. And I'll add on to this hot take. Acai tastes like shit.
Oh, yep. Now you've taken it too far.
Have you ever eaten it?
I mean, I've had the bowl. I've had some.
Have you eaten acai in its pure form without any sugar added to it?
I don't know. It tastes frozen stuff.
Yeah, it tastes like dirt. If you have no added sugar to it, it tastes horrible. The only reason it tastes good is add a bunch of sugar and cover it with honey and put bananas in there. Like, yeah, anything would taste good if you.
I like the acai fruit bars, but I'm weird.
Probably got a lot of added sugar too.
Yeah, it's a popsicle. What the hell do you expect?
Yeah,
it's probably better than an ice cream sandwich. But
yeah. In any case, acai doesn't make your jiu-jitsu better either. All right. Let's keep rolling with this. You got another hot take?
Yes. I think I'll go with the one I was going to go with first, and that is that the BMF belt is the optimal belt to have if you're going to be in the UFC.
All right, you're going to have to argue for this one.
So I didn't realize until this weekend that, well, probably because this is the first defense, that they get the pay-per-view points too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, like, everyone's saying, what's next for Max Holloway? I don't think Max Holloway needs to worry about it, Mr. Islam Makhachev or Topuria. You know, the BMF belt, maybe they need to change the name because it's kind of silly, although it was a pretty bad motherfucker moment at the end of that fight, you know, Saturday night. But now Max can pick any fight he wants in two weight classes, doesn't have to worry about rankings. He's making his money, and he can just make the biggest fight possible. You know, and is Ilia Topuria the biggest fight possible? Not, I mean, there's bigger fights you could be made. You know, this was the main event of UFC 300, let's be honest.
But What has the BMF belt done for anyone else's career?
Well, we now have a Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. It was the first time we had a guy in there still in their fighting prime that has it. You know, it started out as a gimmick, and I think the UFC is planning on doing exactly what I'm talking about. But you know, it could have had, you know, you kept talking about the title fight has to be the main event. The BMF belt is a title fight.
Yeah, but it wasn't the main event.
You don't have to worry about what it could have been. It should have been. Do you disagree?
Yes.
You don't think it should? It was the better. Take the belts out of it. What fight was the best fight to have as a main event?
Well, if you take
maybe not the main event, but sure as hell.
If you take the belts out of it, then what's the point of the argument? The argument is that the BMF belt is the optimal belt to have.
I'm just saying that everyone's talking about not the co-main or the main. The biggest fight was the BMF fight. And I'm just saying if it seems like they're going to start applying the UFC BMF belt as a legitimate championship belt. But it's simply there to make the biggest fights.
It gets kind of murky, though, because let's say Max Holloway's next fight is against Topuria. Is that belt now on the line when he's contesting?
With my argument, Max Holloway will not be fighting Topuria. He'd be fighting somebody like Charles Oliveira, Conor McGregor.
Both guys who are coming off of losses.
I think you're missing my point a little bit. The belt is to make the biggest fight possible.
Okay. But wouldn't you eventually have to give that guy an undisputed title shot? And then...
No, because I think the BMF belt is for people that are after their title reigns. Like, they're bigger star. These people that are fighting this belt are bigger stars than... the current champions.
Okay.
Cowboy Cerrone would be a good, you know, he's retired now, but if that belt was around for him, he would be a guy that would be going for that. Just the way, you know, and it's right in the perfect weight range, the 155 to 145 to 170, you know, just make the big pay-per-view draw fights.
All right. I kind of get that point, but saying it's the optimal belt.
Well,
you're also saying it's the kind of like your past your prime belt.
It's the optimal champion that you would want to be if you were a fighter. Like if you're a fighter in the UFC, this is the belt you should want because it gives you the most flexibility.
No, I would still want the undisputed championship. And then I could always fight for the BMF title after my title run is over.
Right, like Max Holloway's title run is over.
But I think Max Holloway could still be an undisputed champion.
Or he can go fight Topuria and get knocked out, and now Topuria has got the bad motherfucker of the UFC.
Okay. I don't think Topuria can knock him out, but I don't think he should fight Topuria next.
He should fight.
Well, let me segue into my second hot take here.
Oh.
Because it involves Max Holloway. I think, and Mark Fellows, cover your ears here. I think if Max Holloway wasn't robbed of the two decisions in the first two fights against Volkanovski, and he still puts on this performance about Justin Gaethje, he's in the conversation for the greatest fighter of all time.
If he didn't get robbed twice. I seem to remember he got robbed once and the other one I was kind of like, meh.
Yeah, the first one was close. The second one, blatantly robbed.
Are you sure it wasn't the first one?
I'm pretty sure. And then the third one, you know, there wouldn't have been a third one, but the third one, Volkanovski won. But now, take Max Holloway. Let's say his featherweight reign never ended, and he moves up and he has this performance against Justin Gaethje, how are we not at least having him in the conversation of greatest of all time?
Because depends on how much value you put on the BMF belt, because he's only had one belt.
I'm talking about the performance, because you're in there with a guy who's been an elite, you know, a top five lightweight for how many years. He moves up in weight, dominates the whole fight, and has one of the most celebrated highlight reel finishes of all time.
Yeah, but everyone in the conversation of greatest all time has two undisputed belts, correct?
No, Anderson Silva doesn't.
No, and Mighty Mouse.
And Mighty Mouse?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have a problem with Max Holloway being the greatest. We'd have to wait and see what he continues to do, but yeah, I can get behind you that. Fuck Mark Fellows.
Mark says, "Oh, for fuck's sake, how much have you been drinking today, Bill? This is my first little pour, although I'm coming off of a pretty rough jiu-jitsu session, and I decided since it's the UFC 300 celebration, I'm going to kill a bottle, which is something I hate to do. I'm not like a hoarder for the most part, but when there's a bottle I really like, I tend to leave a little bit at the bottom. I don't like to finish it off because I'm like, what if I don't find this bottle again? But whatever. It's a special episode, so we're going to kill this bottle of Knob Creek 12-year, which is one of my favorite whiskeys that was hard to come by for a while because it was the number one on the Whiskey Advocate charts a couple years ago. And I really enjoy this 100-proof whiskey. Just drinks really nice. It's got those, you know, mellow caramel flavors, the oak, the vanilla, everything you want from a great bourbon. So that's what I'm killing here tonight, eventually. What are you drinking over there? I saw like something mixed with Coca-Cola.
Oh no, I just got Coca-Cola, but then I got some Buffalo Trace.
Oh, okay.
That's all they got in stock at the store.
Nice.
So are we ready to put our money where our mouth is on some nasty shots?
Yeah. So we each have one more hot take, but I think so far I'm in the lead here because you've kind of agreed with both of mine.
Yeah.
And I've kind of debated both of yours, but let's see what happens after the last one. So give me your last hot take.
The UFC 300 is great, but let's not do that shit again.
Do what shit again?
But this giant card. And my argument is pretty easy. I'm going to mess up some names, but Matheus Nicolau, Alex Perez, Pantoja Ursig, Luis Rodrigo Nascimento, Edson Barbosa, Lerone Murphy. Uh-huh. What do you think about that card?
Who the fuck are those guys?
Well, that's not actually the card. That's our next five main events.
Oh. Yeah, that's rough. So you're saying that because this card was so stacked that the next few main events are not going to be...
Not the next few. The past five have been, too. It was a great night, but it wasn't...
No, the last one we had O'Malley and Vera.
No, I'm not talking about fight night, you know, the fight nights. Okay. I'm reading off fight nights. Only one of those is a pay-per-view. But, I mean, I love UFC 300, but I love the fight nights. Let's sprinkle, like, Armin Sarukian and Charles Oliveira should have been a freaking main event. We needed to see two more rounds of that.
Okay.
It was great, but there was just too much.
So you want to spread the wealth a little more next time.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's...
So UFC 400, are you saying they should just do, like, a regular card with a great main event?
No, just stack it a little bit more. Like, you know, instead of having the two big boy fights, maybe add another one.
Hmm.
Make some nostalgic matchups, whoever, you know, have Strickland rolled in there. But I don't know. It was too much. I mean, there's so much that we've been going a half an hour, and we still haven't mentioned.
Cause tonight will be the night that I will fall for you.
That dude's badass.
I mean, you did mention him.
I did say his name, but he deserves a little bit than just his name. I mean, and he's buried down there. The kid came through.
He did have an awesome performance. I mean, to go out there and do what he did to Sadiq Yusuf, and then to call out Mavzar Evloev, like, who the fuck is going to call that guy out, especially after he fought him already?
Yeah.
That's a pretty badass move. He lost, but he took the fight on like 2 days' notice.
Yeah, so he wants that one back.
And he almost, you know, didn't he almost submit him a couple of times in there?
I don't remember it that much. But yeah, I mean, UFC 300, that was fantastic, but let's dial it back a bit.
All right. That's one hot take I can kind of get on board with. Like, I enjoyed a night where it's like, wow, I really want to see every single fight from top to bottom, except for maybe the co-main event.
Which turned out to be not a bad fight.
It was an excellent fight, but it was just like, oh, man, too long.
It was weird. What was this with the fingers up the nose, the smelling salts?
So, no, there was no smelling salts. So here's the thing. There's like a pressure point at the bottom of the nose and the top of the lip where if you really press on it hard, it does something to the nerve endings that wakes your brain back up. So he was jamming his thumb. That's typically what you do it with. So if you press on the bottom of your nose and the top of your lip, it hurts like fucking hell. And it could basically
like doing this.
Yeah, it could basically wake you from the dead. And that's what they did. However, that fight should have been stopped after the first round. She was unconscious. She couldn't even get back to her corner. But, you know, credit to her. Like, once she snapped out of it, you know, she showed some toughness by finishing that fight. But I just didn't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, that was a weird end of the round because, I mean, I've been choked out unconscious before. I know you have. I heard you snoring. Have you ever saw somebody just get choked a little bit and zombie out for a while? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody reacts differently. Yeah, I mean, it's weird getting put unconscious. And then, you know, usually in jiu-jitsu, they have, you know, they'll lift your legs up to try and get some blood back to your head.
Put completely out.
Oh, she was out. She was out.
Okay, then, yeah, that would have made it much more. The card would have flowed much smoother.
Yeah. So confession, I fell asleep after that fight. I woke up on my sister's couch and I had to turn on the main event and watch it before I looked at my phone. And luckily, I saw it without any spoilers, and it was still awesome.
Wait, you woke up in the morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, woke up in the morning. TV was off. I was on the couch. And I turned on the TV real quick and put on ESPN, and luckily there was no spoilers. So, yeah, confession. Wow. What are you gonna do? I'm getting old, man.
Yeah,
I can't hang. Man, I really
think we got tricked with that main event. Like, I remember when that got announced. I mentioned it last week. You know, Jamahal Hill has no chance, and then as the fight comes, I'm talking myself into it, and then here we go. You know, he was like only a minus 125.
Yeah, it was close.
I mean, I did terrible last week. Luckily, I pulled out a Alex Pierre by TKO $50 bet to get back $150.
Sweet.
Because I was a moron and put 25 on Gaethje right before it.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't think I said it on the show, but I was telling other people I was leaning Holloway. I just had a feeling because, oh, let's talk about the fact that Max Holloway got knocked down. It wasn't ruled an official knockdown either, but he got knocked down. He got put on his ass.
Yeah, I missed that part.
That was in the fourth round, I want to say. I think it's the only round Gaethje won. Shout out to Dan Tom in the house who made his triumphant return to podcasting. My buddy Dan Tom, you know him from the Protect Your Neck podcast. and he says, Cutman dropped a digit on her. Can't believe it. Yeah, he was up in that nose. Yeah. Like he violated it. So they must have a special relationship. Mark Fellow says that his wife uses that technique on him every time he snores. I bet that's effective.
Yeah.
So you should have done that to me when I got choked out in the gym that day.
Yeah, that was a
If you only knew about it.
I'm rolling and all of a sudden I hear a snore, a little light snoring. It wasn't even a loud one. It was just like you were, I don't know, like you were dreaming about the best dream ever.
Getting then I choked. Look around.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
That was a white belt that was, did not, he was not a white belt.
Yeah, he was sandbagging somehow.
No, he was just a college baseball player, athletic.
Yeah.
He's still training, and he's winning blue belt tournaments now, but he probably should be a purple belt.
Yeah. Was I a blue belt at the time?
You're probably blue or purple, but that was one of those situations where you're like, okay, white belt, I'm gonna let him on my back and see what he can try. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I'm in serious trouble. Kind of like our friend Sky when he gets the crucifix. You're like, oh no, this is bad.
Yeah. I gotta be careful with these young guys, especially because like the level of jiu-jitsu is so much higher than it was. Like you can't let these white and blue belts work as much.
Well, you all can, right. But if you just have to tap, Bill.
What? No, for shame.
All right, do you got to take a nasty shot? UFC 300 does not need to happen again.
I mean, I have one hot take left.
Well.
And I have it scored 2-1 for me. Because I've only agreed with one of yours. But here's my last hot take. Kayla Harrison should get a title shot, not because she just defeated the former champ Holly Holm, but because she is the only female on the roster right now who could headline a card.
Well, that's not fair, Bill. I already said the same thing basically tonight.
How?
When I ask, I cut her out of my questions, didn't I?
Yeah. You did.
Dang it.
So you basically admitted that you agree with my hot take, and that makes me 3-for-3.
Yeah.
So I think you're reaching for one of those nasty shots, and I'm going to reach for more Knob Creek 12. What do we got? What's
Malibu.
Ooh. Just regular coconut Malibu?
Yeah, what is this? I've never had this.
Oh, before. It's coconut rum. It's going to taste like sunscreen.
Oh, good. It's only 21%.
Yeah, it's not strong stuff. It's a white girl wasted kind of drink.
Is this something you get on like a Carnival Cruise Line cruise?
Oh, yeah, probably. Get yourself a Malibu Bay Breeze. A little coconut rum action.
Man, I wish you wouldn't have mentioned the sunscreen. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, that's not the ABV on the bottle. It's the SPF.
we could confused.
Yeah, the good thing is you can't get sunburned for 12 hours after drinking that.
The weird thing is, why do we know what sunscreen tastes like?
I guess you just don't, because we've all like been putting it on our face and like you taste it, right?
I knew when I tasted it, I'm like, that's sunscreen, but I can't think of a time where I was like, oh, this is sunscreen.
Because sunscreen smells so strong, you can taste it.
Yeah.
It's like when you say,
that's got to be it.
Like when you say something tastes like shit, it's not because you've eaten shit.
Yeah, but I don't know. I get the shit one, but I mean, no, it actually tastes like sunscreen.
Yeah. Well, maybe you've eaten sunscreen. Maybe you have, past we don't know about.
Sleepwalking, eating sunscreen or something.
Eating sunscreen in your sleep. Is there anybody else from UFC 300 that you wanted to talk about?
Okay, we talked about the Jalen Turner, man. Talk about a big mistake.
Man, he's going to be regretting that one for the rest of his career.
Yeah, that sucked.
Probably one follow-up shot, and he had it in the bag.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if the increase of the bonuses might have screwed him on that one. I don't know.
Yeah, because Herb Dean was like, sorry, man. Herb Dean was more excited about jumping in on Alex Padilla's nuts.
Yeah, Jalen Turner's got to start spending some more time with his grappling coach.
Yeah, especially because he's got the build to be such a frustrating person to grapple with. I remember early on in his career when he fought our buddy Matt Frivola, you know, Matt would take him down pretty easily, but then Jalen was like kind of awkward to deal with. He's just so long-limbed. Like, I hate grappling guys like that that just have limbs for miles. And like, you think you're past their guard, and then they've got another 8 feet of legs.
Yeah. And Hinato, talk about a like a post-fight speech guy. He's awesome. I've seen some stuff he's done already this week. You know, he did his podcast, and he's like, where's Joe Rogan?
Yeah, he's a funny dude.
Let's see.
I'll give you my underrated performance that I think didn't get enough shine, and that's Davison Figueiredo. You know, I think if he had gone in there and knocked Cody Garbrandt out, which, you know, he definitely has the power to do, I think people would have just chalked it up to like, oh, Cody's chin is gone. But the fact that he went in there and submitted him and was the first person to ever submit him, I think that's just such a statement. You know, former champ Cody Garbrandt, and he didn't beat him the way people expected. You know, everybody says Cody's chin is shot and you know, that's it. He's done for that reason. Cody Garbrandt's still a tough dude, still, you know, has that wrestling background from Ohio, you know, Ohio guy like yourself, which we know they just breed wrestlers there.
I just live and eat and breathe wrestling.
Well, they breed wrestlers and, you know, guard pullers apparently. But the fact that he was able to get him to the ground and then submit him, I feel like was a really undervalued statement. And I think he really established himself as a contender in the bantamweight division.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know if Cody's got it in it anymore. Like, he just didn't look. I know he was saying he was having vertigo. I don't know what the hell that's all about. I mean, I've never had vertigo, but I don't think it'd be something I'd want while I'm in a fucking fight with a crazy little God of War looking guy.
Yeah, but I say
there's just sometimes when he was just laying there and like it looked like he was just staring off in this the rafters, just kind of like, I don't know, he didn't. It's yard chair quarterbacking,
he wasn't all there, but I mean I think it was still an awesome performance by Figueiredo, who is now ranked sixth in the bantamweight division. So it's got to be a top five guy next, and I think, you know, Davison Figueiredo and Marlon Vera would be a fucking awesome fight. Or Figueiredo and Peter Yan.
Yeah, both those are good. You know, another fight that Max could, I remembered, I was thinking about this. Brian Ortega, Max Holloway would be pretty badass. Again, no, wait, he beat the shit out of him, didn't he?
Yeah, he embarrassed him. When he, like, grabbed his hands and told him to put his hands up.
Brian Ortega for somebody else. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
I don't know either.
Aljamain Sterling, Brian Ortega.
Ooh, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
That can be really interesting. Yeah, man, Jiří Procházka, I think, had an awesome showing. He's like the kind of guy, like, and I was saying this as the fight was going on because I'm kind of hyping him up to my sister and brother-in-law, who, you know, they kind of know what's going on with MMA. They don't watch regularly, but they were really into this card. I'm hyping up Jiří Procházka, and I'm like, yeah, he's gonna have to get hurt before he really does anything. And dude, he got fucking banged around in that first round, but you know, still pulled a victory out.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing, and then some people are looking at me like, man, what the hell are you talking about? Like, this guy looks like shit. I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, just wait. And then I have to say, for me, I had a bad taste in my mouth with Bo Nickel, the way he handled himself after that win and saying like, oh, I was really expecting to dominate. Like it seemed kind of like jackassy to me. Like yeah, you just went in there and you finished a guy in the second round on the biggest card of the year. And you're like, oh, I wasn't happy with that performance. I really wanted to like obliterate him. It's like, dude, this guy had twice as much experience as you. You know, you were favored by a lot and you still went in there and got the second round finish. Like it seemed a little too cocky for me, I guess.
Yeah, that was my jackpot pick, and it almost happened. Like I feel like it got kind of close to happening, but yeah, I mean, he just has high expectations for himself. I mean, he's got to realize that everybody left is really skilled fighters. Like he just wants to keep steamrolling everybody, and that's just not a reality in where he's at. I mean, he's not ranked yet, but he's gonna be. He's probably gonna fight a ranked guy next.
Who do you give him?
I don't know, but I
called out Anthony Hernandez.
I think it's time to like see what we got. Like, I think it's time to fight. What's Hernandez ranked?
12.
Okay.
Hernandez, you know, he's tough, man. He's real tough, and he's got some slick submissions.
Yeah, I don't know who he should fight, but if I was in ranked 10 to 15 in that middleweight division, I would be like, I'll fight Bo Nickel right now. Like, I think right now would be the time to fight him. Because you're probably gonna have to, if on your journey to the championship. And I mean, he's only gonna get better, but I don't think he's learned that lesson that I thought he was gonna learn Saturday night. Like,
I mean, Chimaev is the fight everybody wants to see, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that. I kind of have the same.
Well, he's got a fight on the books, doesn't he? Maybe. He's fighting Robert Whittaker.
Oh June. Yeah. He's going to lose that.
Most likely, man. But, you know, anything could happen. We could do Bo Nickel and Chris Curtis.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that. That's fun.
Yeah, that would be a fun fight. Paul Craig I like, too. Because you don't want to put Paul Craig on his back. Because he's nasty, dangerous there. But Paul Craig might be moving back up to light heavyweight. Anything else on UFC 300?
Well, we pretty much talked about every fight except the main event.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
We did a recap without doing a recap, which was it was kind of fun.
Yeah. But definitely the Alex Pereira knockout got overshadowed by the Holloway, because that was a pretty cool sequence too. I mean, getting kicked in the nuts, doesn't even take his eyes off of.
Yeah.
And then just knocks him out, and then does the pose that Izzy just did while looking at Izzy.
Like, yeah.
Did you see that Izzy just did that?
Yeah, I kind of saw Izzy was doing it like with a pizza or something.
Well, there's an influencer. I don't know what his name is, but that's his thing.
Okay.
And then Izzy just collaborated with him, and he did it. And then following up a week later, here's Alex doing that while looking at Izzy.
Yeah, saying, like, I'm seeing what you're doing. Look what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, well, and then I was going to clip it, but it had some silly background noise. But it was like an interview with Izzy right when he got in the UFC talking about Pereira and how that guy sucks, and that, you know, he always talks about how he beat me, but in 5 years, when I'm the champ and I'm reigning, you know, have this legacy, he'll be sitting in a pub, and then it just cut to him going.
Yeah, it's like you're out there making pizzas with influencers. I'm in here knocking dudes out at the weight class you couldn't compete at. It's cold, man. And I like it. It shows personality. How about the fact that the dude didn't even acknowledge that he got his black belt? He's just like, yeah, I got this. Whatever.
No, because he might have thought it was weird too. He was like, "That's weird."
Yeah, or the guy he just has no reaction to anything. He's just. Yeah,
have you seen the Splash Mountain picture?
No.
There's a picture of him on Splash Mountain, and everyone's like, you know, got the, and he's just sitting there. He's one of the. Has to be the scariest.
Is it Splash Mountain?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, just a log plume ride?
It's one of those log plume rides. Yeah, one of them.
Okay, because Splash Mountain at Disney World is no more.
Is that because...
Yeah, apparently it was racist, so they had to close it.
The song was racist? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So they're turning it into the Princess and the Frog log.
Oh, so bestiality is better. Okay.
The Princess and the Frog flume.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what one it was. It's, yeah, log plume.
All right.
That puts a wrap on 300. And not really, because they did also announce some big fights at 300.
Oh yeah, we can get into that. So, obviously, the big one is Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler at UFC 303. Now, do you think that fight's going to be a main event?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
Why? Do you know something else?
Final answer? I don't know.
Where's that at? Let me know. Vegas?
It's got to be Vegas because it's International Fight Week. And International Fight Week has always been headlined by a title fight.
Hmm. Who knows? I don't know.
So
At this point, we don't even know if it's going to happen. I mean, what do we know?
I mean, supposedly it's signed, and it's going to be 5 rounds.
If it's Conor McGregor's return, when was the last one in fight he had that was not a main event?
Oh, gosh.
And I seem to remember hearing that he has in his contract that it has to be a main event.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing. Let's see. Was it the first Nate Diaz fight? No, it was the first Dustin Poirier fight, UFC 178. Was the last time he was not a main event, September 2014.
It will be the main event because right now the UFC has it. The card's called McGregor versus Chandler.
So it's been 10 years since Conor McGregor has not been a main event. Almost 10 years. September will be 10 years. So the main event of that card was Mighty Mouse and Chris Carriosa. Carriasso.
Never heard of him.
It wasn't even the co-main event. The co-main event was Cowboy Cerrone and Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah, we got a while to think about this one.
And that card was also the infamous stool gate between Yoel Romero and Tim Kennedy.
Wow, it's that long ago.
Yeah. You remember that?
No, but I remember. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I know how long ago it was.
I remember where I was at a bar in Hoboken, New Jersey, watching this card. We also had Amanda Nunes lost that night to Kat Zingano.
But they also announced some better fights at 300. Two much better fights, or much more interesting fights.
You know, if you look at this card was stacked. On the undercard, we had Jorge Masvidal and James Krause on the prelims. Dominic Cruz and Takeo Mizugaki. Wonderboy against Patrick Cote. Kevin Lee was on the undercard, or the prelims, rather.
Yeah, but I imagine if you go back on most of the prelims, it's pretty stacked because those fighters ended up becoming
sure
big stars. But at that time, sure, they were.
What was the other fight announcement?
Dustin versus Islam.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And the fight I'm looking for two more, Sean Strickland, Paulo Costa.
Mm. That's interesting. That's an interesting one. Mark makes a good point. Why did they announce Conor versus Chandler and passing off a scrap of paper? That was kind of weird. Somebody had
that to... was. I think that didn't have anything to do with Conor versus Chandler. That had more to do with Dustin versus Islam.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody handed Dana a note written on a fucking Arby's napkin. It's so strange.
I thought it was kind of gangster because it's like, you know, he's in that. The Conor Chandler fight is going to be like the biggest fight in the last several years. I mean, you know, it's going to be huge.
And like he didn't. And supposedly the fight has been signed for 4 weeks. They were just trying to figure out a way to announce it. So it couldn't have been what was written on that.
No, it was they offered, what's his name, the fight versus Islam. He turned it down, so they gave it to Dustin.
Who turned it down?
The guy that fought that night, which is not fair. What's his name? Armin Sarukian.
Oh, okay.
Which is probably not a good idea, right? If you get offered a championship fight, you got to take it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's in 6 weeks.
So what?
Not 6 weeks, is it? Yeah, six weeks.
You got to take it. You got to take
wouldn't
it.
You wait till the next day, you know, like in the locker room?
Oh, they asked him in the locker room after the all
verified? Yeah, that's why he had to, with the paper. Yeah, they went back to him in the locker room and asked him, do you want this fight? In 6 weeks. And and I saw an interview with him. He's like, oh, I don't even know what's hurt until 2 days. You know?
Fucking figure it out, man. You got a chance to fight for the title.
Yeah.
I
agree. Maybe it's not it's probably what I would do. I would say no, thank you, but. It's definitely not giving any points to get the BMF belt, that's for sure.
No.
But it worked out for Duplessis, so.
True.
Oof. That's all I got.
Yeah, me too. All right. So, if that's all, I want to hear more responses from you guys about my questions. What three fighters would you say from UFC 300? Who had the most underrated performance? And who will be the next champion out of everyone who competed at UFC 300. Who's going to be the next one to wear a belt? I guess it's not going to be Armand Sarukian. If you guys want to grab some MMA on the Rocks merchandise, Reaper1.co is the website. Link is in the show notes, except for those of you watching the live show. But those of you not watching this live, the link is in the show notes. If you want to get an over-the-top, under-the-influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie, the link is there for you all. I'm going to kill the rest of this delicious Knob Creek 12-year here, and it's perfect. I can put it outside. It's recycling day tomorrow. And that's all we got. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.